हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 81 द लॉर्ड ब्लेसेस सुदामा ब्राह्मण टेक्स्ट नंबर 26। पतिव्रता पतिम दृष्ट्वा प्रेमा उत्कंठा अश्रु लोचना मिलिताक्ष अनमद बुद्ध्या मनसा परिशश्वजे। पतिव्रता पतिम दृष्ट्वा प्रेमोत्कंठाश्रुलोचना मिलिताक्षद अनमाद बुद्ध्या मनसा परिश्वसजे। पतिव्रता पतिम दृष्ट्वा प्रेमोत्कंठाश्रुलोचना मिलिताक्ष नमद बुद्ध्या मनसा परिश्वस्वजे। पतिव्रता पतिम दृष्ट्वा प्रेमोत्कंठाश्रुलोचना मिलिताक्ष नमद बुद्ध्या मनसा परिश्वसजे। माता जी प्रेमोत्कंठाश्रुलोचना हिताक्ष अनमाद बुद्ध्या मनसा परिश्वसजे। माता जी पतिव्रता पतिम दृष्ट्वा बुद्ध्या मनसा परिश्वसजे। पतिव्रता डिवोटेड टू हस्बैंड पतिम हर हस्बैंड दृष्ट्वा सीइंग प्रेम लव उत्कंठा विद द ईगरनेस अश्रु टीयरफुल लोचना हुज आईज मिलित होल्डिंग क्लोज्ड अक्षी हर आईज अनमत शी बाउड डाउन बुद्ध्या विथ थॉटफुल रिफ्लेक्शन मनसा विथ हर हार्ट परिश्वस्वजे शी एम्ब्रेस्ड। ट्रांसलेशन वेन द चेस्ट लेडी सॉ हर हस्बैंड हर आईज फिल्ड विथ टीयर्स ऑफ लव एंड ईगरनेस As she held her eyes closed, she solemnly bowed down to him and in her heart she embraced him. Next verse. Patnim viksha vispurantim devim vaimanikimiva dasinam nishkakanthinam madhye bhantim savismitaha. Sudama was amazed to see his wife shining forth in the midst of maidservants adorned with jeweled lockets. She looked like as effulgent as demigoddesses in her celestial airplane. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that up to now the Supreme Lord had kept the Brahman in his wretched state so that his wife could recognize him. Hare Krishna. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So for many days we are reading this beautiful pastime from Dwarka Leela of Krishna. And this also connects with Ujjain, the Gurukul of Sri Krishna, where he studied under Sandipani Muni. That the two friends from the Gurukul, classmates, their wonderful meeting is explained in this chapter. So without going into much details of the story, which you already know, what we can understand is these both personalities are very transcendental personalities. And their feelings and their emotions are very nourishing to the listener of this pastime. Also in the end, if you come to the end of the story, it is explained that anyone who hears this account of Supreme Lord's kindness to Brahman Sudama will come to develop love for the Lord and thus become freed from the bondage of material work. This is very important for us. So, this is said because Sudama has many typical features in his personality. First of all, he is very satisfied. And everyone can be satisfied when he has lots of money, lots of power, all opulences, beautiful wife and influence and everything. But Sudama is satisfied in a situation where he has no money, no opulences, no influence. In fact, it is explained that he used to always shake or tremble out of hunger while he would interact with anybody. That was his condition. So, in spite of all this situation of want, you can say externally he is in want of many things, he is in want of food maybe, he is in want of many things, but he was always satisfied in his given situation of life. And it is explained that every devotee should learn to become satisfied in his given condition. To become satisfied in the given condition is also one kind of surrender. That means I accept the situation given by Krishna as perfect. And thus, that person who accepts Krishna's arrangement as perfect, he is considered to be surrendered, and by the dint of his surrender, he becomes very satisfied. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati. He doesn't lament for anything loss. Of course, there was nothing to lose in the life of Sudama. But Na Kangshati also. He had no desire to attain anything. He was happy. Happy means he doesn't lament for anything, if at all it is lost, and satisfaction means also doesn't expect anything that he will like to have it if possible. Second thing, he was very tolerant. He never complained. Why, my Lord, I am your devotee, and why I should be trembling in hunger like this? His devotion to Krishna in this situation of great want materially also. Externally, you and me may see that he is in great want. But his devotion to Krishna was so unflinching and so focused that he was also completely satisfied in that also. He was fully absorbed in the given situation. He never expected anything from Krishna in his devotion. His devotion was simply to please Krishna. And the most important thing that we learn from his personality, he had no material desire. Srimad Bhagavatam, even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also explains at many places about many devotees. Even he refers to those many devotees in this purports also. that there are many devotees who are very good devotees of the Lord, but still they have some material attachments. Like Dhruva Maharaj went to Narayan with a desire to have a particular kingdom. But Prahlad Maharaj didn't go to Krishna for anything. In fact, he didn't approach Krishna. Krishna approached him, finally, after killing Hiranyakashipu. And then offered him everything. But Prahlad said, "No, Maharaj, why are you bewildering me? Why are you trying to tempt me? Why are you making me a businessman? I'm not a vyapari who have come to you to take something in exchange of something so-called I have done for you. I don't want all these things. I'm only simply worried about being offended to Vaishnavas. Please protect me from that mentality or a situation in future where I would be offending Vaishnavas." And then we come across Sudama. No material desire. Averse to sense gratification. That's what Thakurji, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. No desire and also averse, absolutely no inclination towards sense gratification. And such a condition, he is self-satisfied Atmaram, worshipping his Lord, chanting his holy name. And then his wife feels little pity. It is explained in the Vishnu Sahasraram that Ranka, Raja and Rank. Raja is a king and Rank is the most pauper person in the kingdom. So it is explained that Vishnu is a personality who lifted Sudama from his Ranka position to a very opulent position. Much, much more than demigods also. But actually Sudama was not in Ranka consciousness. That is what is most significant to understand. He was Ranka from external sense, from the people, or from the material point of view, he was Ranka. That means most pauper and most poor. But within himself he was very rich. He had accepted Supreme Personality of Godhead as his friend and the Lord, and surrendered his life to him in full satisfaction with no expectation. It's only when his wife insisted, he just went. And that too, when he went, he had no desire that I will go and get something from my friend. He said, "Okay, this is a good opportunity. If she's pushing me, I will have darshan of my great friend, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead." So in everything, what counts is our consciousness. Externally, it may appear that yes, pushed by his wife, he went finally to attain his goal. He wanted to have that ultimately, and was looking for reason, and he took his wife's reason, took shelter of her reason, and went to fulfill his desire. That any karmi who is looking for money can conclude that looking at Sudama's story. But when a person like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is looking at the story, he understands it is not like that. If that was so, he would have asked Krishna when he had gone there. They spent, one night he stayed there. It's not that he had a very short time and Krishna was very busy in meetings and he said, I don't have time for you. Meet me in the evening for half an hour. It's not like that. He had all the time with him. Enough time. They reminisced about history so much, which they could have avoided, and he could have asked his desire. But he didn't ask also anything. In fact, he went away also. And while he was going away, what he was thinking? He was thinking how lucky I am, how fortunate I am to have such a friend who is not only Supreme Personality of Godhead, but such a good friend he is. How much he loved. The interactions that he had with Sudama bewildered everybody in Rukmini's palace. The way Sudama was looking, this is rags, we call it rags and all, torn clothes and more holes than cloth and such a emaciated body and such dirty looking personality because all travels. And so generally you will not expect such a person in the palace. And then in the palace, if at all he enters by whatever means, you don't expect him to be on the throne of the palace owner. And then you don't expect him to be washed. I mean, his feet are being washed, and you don't expect the king's wife, the queen, is fanning you. All this is not expected. You may at the most enter and then you stand by side and then watch everything and you are asked to leave after some time. It's not like that. But Sudama was given highest honor by Krishna. Krishna woke up from his bedstead, went running to receive him, embraced him, made him sit on the bedstead, washed his feet and mopped it with pitambar, told Rukmini to bring flowers and offer worship with incense and lamp and flowers. And then Rukmini was asked to fan, and she was very happily fanning. She was not saying, "Why should I fan a person who is a pauper like this? I am a queen of Krishna, number one queen." So Sudama is not saying, "Oh, I went all the way but I didn't ask. How I missed asking. Shouldn't I feel so ashamed and so embarrassed why. I should have asked him, you know, I missed an opportunity, when do I do again? He didn't think anything of the sort. He was only meditating on the greatness of his friend, how wonderful interactions he had with him. What a fortune to have such a friend. And I'm so lucky and fortunate. My life is successful. He was simply meditating. And it is said that he didn't even know when he reached his home. He was so absorbed in the transcendental thoughts of loving interaction with Sri Krishna. So this is Sudama. And when he went home, he first thought, ki, wrong number, wrong address. Where did I go? This doesn't look like my house. Not only his house, but his area was filled with many palaces. You know? Area was filled with palaces, and then in between his palace was the best of all palaces in between. Asti danta and gold and diamond and silver and every possible precious dhatu. All furniture was available there. Hundreds of dasis were there, ornamented. His godowns were filled with grains. All possible wealth. Everything was shining and effulgent like demigods, Brahma and Indra. And he couldn't recognize his wife. He was like, sometime he was bewildered. Who is this lady coming to me? And the servants came and told, she is your wife only. So he was bewildered. He didn't understand. But then he understood that Sri Krishna must have done all these things. It is his power that he can do all these things. Then they brought him, and at this point of our time we say that the Pativrata Devi, his wife, was so happy to see him, and keeping the etiquette, Shishtachar, in front of public, she closed her eyes and bowed down and embraced him within her heart, with so much of love and emotion and appreciation and dedication. He was also bewildered to see, she was shining like demigoddess in her celestial airplane, Vaimanikim eva. So this is Sudama. A lot to learn from these personalities. I mean, we don't have to be as poor as him to come in this consciousness. We can be like him in all stages of wealth, whether we are poor, middle class, or higher class, or super higher class, or super finely wealthy. In all conditions of life, what is most important is being satisfied. If you are not satisfied, then even Indra's and Brahma's opulence will not satisfy you. And if you are satisfied, then even if anything is not there with you, also can be satisfied. Because satisfaction has got nothing to do with what you have materially in external sense. Satisfaction is totally a matter of your heart. And in Krishna's appearance, Leela, Srila Prabhupada explains, satisfaction is the process of cleaning your mind. Like we bathe and clean our body. You know, we read scriptures and bathe our intelligence. Satisfaction is one means by which we clean our mind and bathe our mind, cleanse our mind with all the kilmish. It's an extremely important feature a devotee must have in his life. To be happy in whatever conditions we are, whether we have little wealth or more wealth, or whether we have a disease and a suffering condition and a frustrating condition in our life, perpetually from beginning to end, we are not going to get freed from that. But we should learn to be happy and satisfied in that given situation which Krishna has ordained for you perfectly to reach Him in the course of time at the end of this life. We have to understand that this situation in my life which is typical to me, and I can go and question everybody, why me and why me, that particular situation is tailor-made by Sri Krishna. For me, like doctor gives a specific treatment to a patient in a particular way, it's not repeated to anybody else. It's up to, for your condition, He has prescribed a prescription. That kind of tailor-made arrangement is there by the Lord for each and every living entity. And if you understand that arrangement is made by the Lord to purify you and finally help you to reach the lotus feet of the Lord in His eternal service, if that understanding is there, that person is extremely fortunate to have that understanding. And that understanding has nothing to do with your external situation. Again, I want to repeat that. So that is Sudama. And of course, the biggest challenge for all the devotees, all of us, is to give up sense gratification, to desire for sense gratification. To the degree we are attached to sense gratification, to that degree we actually do not love Krishna, or we hate Krishna, or we have nothing to do with that. To the degree we give up sense gratification, to that degree we express our love for Krishna. Because when we maintain some desire for sense gratification, that means we maintain some love and attachment for Maya. To the degree we maintain love and attachment to Maya, to that degree we hate Krishna. So Sudama was perfect in that. No material desire. So much to offer to the Lord in that situation. You know, I wonder that if I were to get freed from material desire, so much more my mind and heart will have to offer to Krishna actually. And so much more is reserved from giving to Krishna when I have material desire, because that much energy of mine is engaged in pleasing Maya and satisfying my senses. If that energy is saved, imagine how much we can do. Even at the, in one sense, deathbed, Srila Prabhupada was offering so much to the world, just because he had said, I have given up desire for sense gratification. Many people asked him, why you were not successful in India? And now you are so successful. And now everybody is falling at his feet. How do you react to that? He said, because I have given up desire for sense gratification, this is what is happening. In response to one person who asked him, everybody is falling at your feet now. Why is that? Because I have given up desire for sense gratification. That is something which is very impressive to the hearts. Even those people who have sense desires, even for them it is very impressive. To have somebody in front of you who has no sense desire. No desire for sense gratification. So this is Sudama. Now look at Sri Krishna. What is Sri Krishna's position? In today's world, suppose you want to meet Prime Minister. Prime Minister in his own position, in his palace, in his opulence and security and, you know, influence and aura, and like, it's like you have to cross maybe 9 gates to meet him. And he will not come and embrace you and, you know, make you sit on his seat and give flowers to you and offer incense to you, do arati to you. And we are talking about one Prime Minister of one country in one of the planets of one of the galaxies. Here we are talking about the personality of Godhead who owns everything that is created and to be created and was created. Everything that would be and is and was, he has the ownership of that. He controls everything. Every leaf moves by his desire. Everything is controlled by him. Absolutely, not in illusion. In absolute sense, he controls everything. And that personality receives you and then puts you on his own bedstead. Makes his wife wash the feet of the guest. He is not any way in match with that personality. But the greatness of Sri Krishna is, although he is such a big personality, but he is easily approachable. That is the most wonderful thing you have to understand. In our management also, we have to be taught again and again, as a big position holder, you know, you have to be approachable to your people. People should feel you can approach you. The Supreme Personality of God is super approachable. Anybody can approach him irrespective of his position and situation. And that personality has no aura or no pride in him that I am so and so, so I will not do certain things because I am so and so. No, he is so heartfully belonging to others who love him, irrespective of caste, creed and position. So he doesn't have any problem in embracing Sudama, who is in wretched rags, you know, so much of love, bewildering everybody around him. And that too from heart. He's not making a managerial show to impress how a leader should be. It's not like that. It's like natural for him. He's just reacting so naturally. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interacting with Kolovicha Sridhar is so natural. It's not that he is acting to impress somebody. He's in seclusion. And he's so natural with Kolovicha Sridhar. So like that, that is the greatness where you expect great pride to be there in a higher position, there you see great humility in contrast. That is Sri Krishna. This is very rare combination in material world. The higher you become, the more unavailable, unapproachable and more proud you become. Here Sri Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest of all, but most approachable, most humble and down to earth and most dasanudas of his servants. Which is very difficult to actually see in material world. And second thing, Sri Krishna is antaryami. He knows what is in the heart of Sudama. He knows, he's not asking me. He's already decided what is to be done for him. But while giving this great opulence to Sudama, what is Krishna's mood? That has to be understood. He's not thinking, now poor fellow, you know, he's shaking with hunger. I will stop his shaking by giving him good food and good palaces and everything. I will give him and make him happy. No, Sri Krishna is actually ashamed in planning to give him those great things. He says that the love that is my devotees, my friend Sudama is offering me is unrewardable. I do not possess, I don't think I possess anything which is in equality with this particular love and the loving flat rice they have given me. But I don't have anything else in comparison, so what do? I give him maybe the best of material things that I have, but it is not in comparison what he has given me. So I'll give him Brahma's opulence and Indra's opulence and all demigods' opulence. More than that I will offer him. But while giving that offering to Sudama, Krishna is feeling very embarrassed in the heart. I am not giving anything in comparison what he has given me. Like when he met gopis, he said, Naparayam, I cannot reward your love. Your love is so superfluous that even being Supreme Personality of Godhead, I don't have anything to give you. That humility Krishna has. Sri Krishna is not proud in giving, see, look what I did to my devotee. You become my devotee, see what I do my devotees. No. He has done that, but in that mood of humility that I do not compare with what I have received from Sudama. This is Krishna's consciousness. Imagine how much grateful we should be devotees. Sri Krishna thinks like this about his devotees, like this. This is his consciousness towards his devotees. How much he adores them, how much he loves them, and how much he feels uncomparable to them, what devotion they have. That is why in front of all the gopis, Sri Krishna was like this. I'm very sorry. Please be happy in the love and devotion that you have for me. Please, I do not have anything to give you in return. That is Krishna's mood. And second thing, he doesn't give so much opulence to those where he feels that they may get attracted and fall down. Like you see, Sri Ramchandra killed Vali and gave the kingdom of Vali to Sugriva. And within no time, Sugriva was lost in the enjoyment. He had to be woken up by Balram, by Lakshman, in anger, you know. So immediately woken up and come back. But here, Sri Krishna has no hesitation in giving such an opulence when Brahma doesn't have. Why? Because he was sure that he will not get entangled into these attachments. Even when Dhruva was offered, pole star, you know, the infallible kingdom, nobody can ascend and he cannot be asked to leave. By that time he had given up his desire to become owner of that infallible kingdom. But still Sri Krishna gave him. And what assurance Dhruva wanted to have, I shouldn't be entangled into all these things. So Sri Krishna assured him, 36,000 years you will rule the kingdom. But you will not be affected by any material desire. Bali Maharaj, when he was bound by Krishna and insulted in front of public, in a sense, Bali Maharaj was experiencing ecstasy of love of Sri Krishna on him. And then he was pushed to Sutala Loka. And what benediction he was given by Sri Krishna, by Vamandev, that you will not be entangled in your Rakshasi Parivar, nothing will affect you. Your love form will remain same. Even though you are in one of the lower planets, you will not be affected by the consciousness of the lower planet. And you will remain my devotee at the end of this 11,000 year, whatever number of years, you will come back to my kingdom with love and devotion. So Sri Krishna had that guarantee that my devotee Sudama will not get lost into this. Because he was never attached, never in want of those things. If he was hungry of those things, he would have gone. But even in the poorest of poor condition, he was not attached to such kind of opulences. That is why it is said that even though he lived with his wife with such an opulence and so enjoyed, but he was completely in detachment of all those things what he went through. Looks like kapol kalpit kal katha. That means like imaginary story. Just somebody, some rishi was intelligent just to impress some fools in the world who want to be devotees, called as devotees. To follow them, he has made a katha which is simply impossible to be in the material world. But all these things, given in Srimad Bhagavatam, to understand, we need to have faith. Without faith, everything is just imaginary, illusory for us. To imagine and to believe that Sudama, while enjoying all those opulences, was completely detached, is very difficult to believe actually. But we know, by the power of the pure devotees who are explaining these verses, that it is fact. And it is also possible to be like that. It is not that once you go into big opulences, you simply get attached and entangled. You can be still detached. Yudhishthir Maharaj and Pandavas were fully detached from all the opulence that they received after whole life of a struggle, for few years in the end they got the kingdom of the whole world. And what was the proof that they were not attached to all these things? As soon as Krishna left, they just dropped everything and left. If they were anyway entangled and attached, they wouldn't have left. They wouldn't have gone. But they just like you drop yesterday's clothes for washing, like that they dropped the kingdom and just went on north side. That showed that actually they were only in love with the Lord and not with the kingdom and opulence and authority they had. So the purpose of life is to simply get attached to Sri Krishna. It is not to try to be happy in this world as a karmi, not to get detached from this world as a jnani. The purpose of this life is to simply get attached to Krishna and His service wherever we are while we are living. Whether He will decide you to take back, or will you get moksha or not, or will go to hell next time to serve Him. Simply being attached to Him and His service is the very purpose of life, and that only a devotee can do. Only a bhakta is able to understand this and do this and love to remain attached to Sri Krishna. Very inspiring story actually, you know. Very, very great, wonderful qualities are being exhibited here. Transcendental divine qualities of great personalities are exhibited, you know. Even Rukmini Devi has no hesitation to fan a poorest of person. He's so happy. And she says that, once you get satisfied, my Lord, I am supposed to provide that person with everything. And she provided. I have become subservient to that person. So she has no hesitation. Why she stopped? Many people may say that, oh, next she was supposed to become servant of that person if he ate second morsel. No, she wanted to have remnants of all that and give to all her kinsmen around her. Like, you know, when we come from Vrindavan, we get prasad, we want to give every morsel to every friend of ours. Not that we eat everything in the train only. No, we take something and bring everything for our friends to have a droplet of that mercy, you know. So like that she thought, this poha, this flat rice is so precious, so precious. With so much of love and dedication and affection He has brought in such difficult condition, and my Lord has accepted and being satisfied with it. Let me have a morsel and give everybody, my co-queens and my servants and everybody should receive this. She was not so worried about becoming servant of Sudama and providing whatever He is supposed to provide. So everybody's consciousness is so super fine. That is why we need to aspire to reach Golok Vrindavan, because everybody's qualities are so super fine there. Everybody is so highly elevated people over there. Even demigods cannot match with that consciousness, because they have some material desires and they live in the material world doing some extraordinary service, but in the material world itself. But the personalities of Golok Vrindavan are so highly elevated. Purest of all. That's why Sudama felt like he lived in Golok Vrindavan for a night. He had a picnic in Golok Vrindavan for a night. He stayed there and he was carrying Golok Vrindavan, Dwarka, in his heart all the way back to his place where he went. So all glories to Sudama, all glories to Sri Krishna, who is a lover of all his devotees. Today also happens to be Janu Saptami. And we must narrate in few words the story of Janu Saptami. You know, Janu Rishi was one of the very great rishis. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Navadvip Mahatmya, he explains that Lord Nityananda is taking Jiva Goswami to Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. And dweep by dweep, he takes him to Janu Dweep. And he says, here Jiva, see the beautiful hermitage of Janu Muni. And they had darshan and offered dandavats to the hermitage of Janu Muni. And Janu Rishi, he said, here Janu Rishi lived and performed his tapasya and bhajan and meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a great personality, he lived here. This place is very auspicious and worshipable. Here he was sitting and he was about to perform his Gayatri Japa. And he kept his kamandal. And Gangaji came flooding and flooded his hermitage and also kamandal and everything. Why? Because Bhagirath Muni, Bhagirath Raja was coming with Ganga. With great efforts, he had convinced Ganga to come down. He has pleased Lord Shiva to hold her speed, and he has released her apparently in a lower speed than what she had. And with that, she was following him. He was going ahead to the place in Rasatala where his ancestors were in the form of ashes due to offense to a rishi. And in the process, she was crossing through Janu Dvipa. And it was flooded, washed off. So Janumuni apparently became very angry. And in one gulp, he drank all Ganga. And Bhagirath just turned behind and saw, where is Ganga? There is no water anywhere. I was supposed to have so much sound of water and gushing waters, and I was going with full speed and with great anxiety at the earliest possible I should reach, and suddenly he sees no Ganga behind. But he was a great sage actually. Himself, he was a great devotee of the Lord. He understood that maybe Janu Muni has drunk everything. So very, with humble heart, he approached Janu Muni, and actually he said many days he worshipped him to please him, to ask him, to request him to release Mother Ganga with the purpose that he had in mind. He was begging, and finally Janu Muni was very happy, and through the cavity of his right ear, he released Mother Ganga. And Mother Ganga flowed, you know, again behind Bhagirath Muni. So that is why she is called Janavi. It is called her second birth. And Janu Muni happens to be her father also, because he gave birth to her in one sense, to deliver material world. So in Akshaya Tritiya day, Mother Ganga touched earth, and Janu Swatami, very logically, in 3 days later on, Janu Muni drank and, you know, released him after a few days, like that. And then Ganga Devi went ahead to Rasatala to deliver the ancestors of Bhagirath Muni. So Janu Saptami is very auspicious day. We offer our humble pranams to Janu Muni on this day, remembering him, his great situation, position, his devotion to Lord, and offer dandavas to Jiva Goswami and Nityananda Prabhu, who went there and revealed his glory to all of us. Today also happens to be the disappearance day of Her Grace Archa Vigraha Devi Dasi, Janu Saptami. On 1994, on this day she departed from this world. So I thought I must speak few words about it, about her. Many devotees in ISKCON, they may not be very great preachers or great, you know, eloquent speakers on Srimad Bhagavatam or, you know, mesmerizing speakers to change the hearts of people. They may not be in limelight or in the position of a guru or a position of whatever temple, big temple president, and many things. They may be as simple as some simple lady, simple housewife. We have so many examples. So one of the examples is Her Grace Archa Vigraha Devadasi. She was born in South Africa, and she was in Johannesburg, and she happened to be a very great artist in South Africa, very famous one, which made her very rich, very opulent, wealthy. But in the course of time, she came across the preaching centers of His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. You know, Durban and Johannesburg and many things, many places in South Africa, he still preaches. So she came in contact with devotees, and she became a very nice devotee, and then she decided to purchase a house, like we call it bungalow, you know, in Vrindavan. She was one of the first devotees who had her own apartment in Vrindavan. Now we have thousands of people staying in Vrindavan in their own houses. But she bought a house very close to Krishna Balaram temple, off the Parikrama road, immediately after the Parikrama road comes, after the temple, we leave the temple. But eventually, she developed breast cancer. And she had spread all over the lymph nodes and body, and then she became very fragile. She was very small in stature, but she was known for her dedication to Guru's mission. Even today, some devotees are still there who served her in her last days. So they say her typical personality was absorption in serving Gurudev and pleasing him. She had very, very deep and firm faith that simply by pleasing Guru, one will be able to please Krishna and go back to the eternal kingdom of the Lord. So then she shifted to Vrindavan. And when she shifted to Vrindavan, she refused to take any painkiller. She had such determination. I don't know. You know, we see people in hospice, so much pain of the spread cancer, that they are supposed to be given morphine, intravenous, round the clock, under the cover, to be able to survive and to be, to exist in sane consciousness. And she refused. She was having so much pain that even if you touch her skin like this on a hand, it would really pain her like anything. She was in so much of pain. Or every inch and body of her body skin was painful. But still she would take some tablets which are not even worth aspirin, you know. And what her fortune was, she received association of His Holiness Bibi Govinda Maharaj, His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, His Holiness Kesava Bharati Maharaj, Burijan Prabhu, so many great souls, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, her own Gurudev Giriraj Maharaj were all around her. And her most of the wakeful hours were divided by these great souls coming for two hours. And she was so much absorbed. Everybody was so much impressed with her consciousness that made them come to her regularly. Like they would bring their deities, like Indradhanu Maharaj would bring his Gandharvika Giridhari Radhakrishna deities. Sometimes he would bring his Giriraj Shila. Others would bring their deities, keep next to her while she used to be with them. And they would read Krishna book, they would read Vidagdha Madhav, they would read Bhagavad Gita, they would read Bhagavatam, they would tell stories of Krishna. And one unique feature, one time when Bibi Govinda Maharaj came to visit her, actually she was crying, like bitterly she was crying. So he said, hey Gopi of Krishna, how you are crying today? So she said, I have got excruciating pain, I am unable to bear. So immediately he opened a book and started narrating stories of Krishna, and he immediately became transcendental. And that was experienced by many, many devotees who came to her. When they would come, she would be in pain, and when they would start narrating of Krishna, she would instantly transcend the physical condition and become extremely blissful and start interacting on that platform. One time one Mataji who went to serve her, there was a team of devotees, Kunti Devi, Namachintamani Devi, and many devotees were, you know, would massage her, cook for her, wash her laundry, and, you know, feed her, take care of all her beings, take care of her physical situation. Every possible thing they would do. One time she came to serve her, again she was crying. So she said, oh, Archa Vigraha, let us go on Govardhan Parikrama. Here is Manasi Ganga, let us take bath. And here is Haridev, let us take darshan like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Now let us go ahead, and this is Dan Ghati, and this is Lotus Feet of Radharani, and this is Dani Rai Mandir, and this is Dan Nivartan Kunda, and this is Sankarshan Kunda, this is Gopalji Mandir, and this is Puchrika Lota, like that. When she gave her whole virtual parikrama of Govardhan, she was in ecstasy, you know. Within few seconds she was in ecstasy. So she taught us by that, simply by being absorbed in Krishna and his pastimes, one can transcend any vicious situation in life. One needs to be sufficiently attached to the holy name of the Lord, to the pastime of the Lord, and to the dham of the Lord. Sufficiently attached to these three things to bear the onslaughts of Maya and the tests sent by Krishna. We all are going to be in onslaught of Maya, 100%. Nobody has an excuse. Whether you become pure devotee also, Maya will keep doing her job. We may not get affected by that, by the power of pure devotion. But she will be on her job. The more you become devoted, the more she will be having her onslaught on us. At the same time, Sri Krishna also, to purify you, will keep on sending his test to you. Although he will give power for us to go through that test gratefully, but the test will be there, onslaught of Maya will be there. And the greatest weapon that we will have to go through is our efforts throughout the life to develop in a sufficient taste for the holy name, the pastimes of the Lord and dham of the Lord, while we are okay, so to say, not in that condition of pain. When everything is normal, we should cultivate this taste and liking for the name of the Lord and the pastime of the Lord and dham of the Lord. When we sweat during peace, there'll be hardly any bleed during the war. This is what is written in the Lonavala Laskar cantonment. I read that. If you sweat during peace, then there will be no bleeding during war. So we have to work hard when there is peace, when there is not so much of challenges in life, to develop, do our sadhana nicely. And because the sadhana was perfect when she was nicely living in Johannesburg, she could be on this platform and everybody could appreciate her consciousness. In that deathbed painful conditions also, she would relate to people accordingly. Some junior devotee would come with some questions, she would give her enlightening association, forgetting all her pain. When great souls would come to give, she would be very humbly predisposed to them, receiving their association, discussing with them in humble condition of heart. And later on, later on, she would talk to her Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, in private, and she said that we should have a back to Godhead clinic in Vrindavan. And she discussed for a long time with Gurudev that many, it's such a wonderful thing to come in Vrindavan and to leave one's body. Such a wonderful thing. Even if it becomes possible in thought also, it is very good. Then what happens to us is also very good. If we are able to help sincere devotees, Vaishnavas, Brijvasis, to have a wonderful medical support for them, and such kind of wonderful association, if arrangement like that, called back to Godhead clinic, that's how she spelled it. And they discussed it for a long time. And then, in great Krishna consciousness, she left this world on Janu Saptami 1994. And there are enough evidences that before even she left her body, she was already in her eternal service to Radha and Krishna. When Vrindavan temple was built, you know, in those days, even today also, but in those days it was too much of that kind, that anybody, Brijvasis or in Sapta Devalaya or Vrindavan, anybody comes to know that some lady has entered an altar of the Lord, you will be condemned like anything. Nobody will like to see your face again. If any lady, you know, ascends the altar of the Lord, does to do some physical private service to the Lord. So in those days, the chief pujari to just let her serve nicely, because she was such absorbed in service. She was an artist. So after all the temple is closed and deities are put on Shayan, everything is locked and everybody leaves and no one is there in temple, he would come back with her and his wife. Pujari, his wife, and come back with Archa Vigraha Mataji. And whole night she would paint the deities. So today what you see, Krishna Balaram deities, Radha Shamsundar deities, Gaur Nithai deities are painted by her actually. Over maybe months together. Daily, overnight, without knowledge of anybody, she has done that. And then she also painted Srila Prabhupada's deity. And the devotee friends of her tell me that she loved Prabhupada so much that she was almost sitting on the lap of Prabhupada to paint him. And that eternal service of doing paintings for the lotus feet of the Lord, Radharani, her lotus face, she was already doing her meditation before even leaving this body, her cancer-laden body, much before she left this world and left this body. And she is the one who actually, one time, Prabhupada said long time back that if one chants Gayatri Japa with very concentration and dedication and absorption, and achieves perfection in chanting of Gayatri Mantra, like which Guru gives us, one day he will hear Golok Vrindavan, Krishna's flute, the sound of Krishna's flute. So one day at 4 o'clock in the morning, in that painful condition, she was chanting her Gayatri, and she went in trance. She started speaking something which was not relevant to the people around. So after a long time of hearing all that, sometimes we think that people who are in too much pain, they start talking irrelevant and sometimes nonsense, maybe not connected, and we feel, oh, because of pain they are doing all these things. They go in that situation which is very painful and make them speak something irrelevant. So long time the devotees were observing that something irrelevant is going on, so then they woke her up. So she said, why you woke me up? I was hearing Krishna's flute. So then they asked, what did you see? So she described what she saw, the beauty of Golok Vrindavan and the devotees of Golok Vrindavan, their beauty and the dham's beauty and the river and the pond and the beautiful flowers and fragrance, everything she was describing. And she was saying, I was just absorbed in hearing Krishna's flute and you woke me up. And again she experienced the pain of the body actually. So she was not an ordinary devotee. And today we can say that because she desired back to Godhead clinic, and His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj took that thought to his mind, and many years he was contemplating how to do it actually. It's very amazing to see Giriraj Maharaj. If you read Many Moons, some description is there in that Many Moons about her. In 1980, Giriraj Maharaj was so sick with chest infection, but still he was going on and on and on in preaching programs. You know, sometimes these great souls are like pushing themselves to see the needs of this material world is so much that they will just go on neglecting their health and go on. One day he became so serious while giving class, so she just caught the ambulance and really took him to the hospital. And doctors were so angry, giving bad words to people, that what kind of people you are, you bring the person in this condition, he would die in 5 minutes, he wouldn't have gone 5 minutes, he would have gone. So that way she actually served and saved his life. This is 1980 I am talking about, 36 years back. She saved him from a life and death situation with her own tatparta, timing, on perfect timing she picked him up and took him to hospital in South Africa. So His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, although technically he was her guru, he never refers to her as a disciple or, he always talks about her such an awe and reverence as maybe as worshipable devotee, Vaishnavi, or at least God sister, But later on we come to know that, she was his disciple actually. That kind of, today also when he speaks about her, he speaks with so much awe and reverence. And he's ordered all his disciples that every year all of you should celebrate her disappearance day on Janu Saptami, that is today's day. Then many, many years passed and then somehow one place was purchased in Vrindavan and that place also gone from our hands and somehow another place was purchased and that place belonged to Radharaman Goswamis and Radharaman Goswamis had performed bhajan over there, two generations the Goswamis, and they were friends with Prabhupada and Prabhupada would walk up to that place every day in morning walk and come back to Krishna Balaram temple for Sringar Darshan. That place where Sri Krishna and Balaram made fun and frolic at Raman Rethi. That place where Sri Krishna showed his Varaha roop to his cowherd boys. That place where the bank of Jamuna is full of Rethi of Jamuna. It's a very auspicious place which was bought and then in 2006 that place was offered to us. Because many, many years Giriraj Maharaj tried his best to establish hospice on his own, but somehow he felt now it should be given to Bhaktivedanta Hospital devotees. They had 3 days, almost overnight discussions in Carpinteria in the house of Giriraj Maharaj. And then Maharaj came straight, Radhanath Swami Maharaj, to Bhaktivedanta Hospital and told us that now Prabhupada is offering some more specialized service to us in appreciation of what we have done in the hospital. Please take it up and set up these things. In 2006, we came in picture and we constructed the hospice. 2010, August 26, we inaugurated the hospice. And the great opportunity to help Brajvasis, ordinary citizens or disciples and devotees of Prabhupada's ISKCON movement, they have a facility now. Such an opportunity because one is helpless in the condition of life when in about to approach death. However wealthy, influential, powerful we may be, when death approaches, we all become equally helpless. Just to make us humble in front of the Lord, everybody becomes absolutely helpless. And that's most helpless condition when we go and provide help to a dying soul, to remember Krishna, to make him pain-free, to make him in a sane mental situation. It's a great service. It is said that if we offer this service to dying devotees, dying Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, Sri Krishna will bless us, our Guru will bless us, but Archa Vigraha Mataji also will bless us like anything. From her position in eternal world, she would keep blessing us from that. And today is our good fortune that we are celebrating Archa Vigraha Devi's disappearance day in the hospice premises from 11 to 1. Because every year it was celebrated in Mumbai. And the Mataji Namachintamani Devi who celebrates it, she is now today in Vrindavan, unable to move from one place to another. So Guru Maharaj has told her to celebrate it in Vrindavan. So we thought, what is another best place to her than Bhaktivedanta Hospice at Parikrama Road in Vrindavan to celebrate her disappearance day. To give so much inspiration to all the devotees who are serving there, to have the insight and the vision that she gave. Actually the vision of serving devotees at the last moment of life was her vision actually. Giriraj Maharaj says that I didn't know anything about hospice and the concept of hospice. I learnt it from her thought process. It was nurtured by her and then I studied the hospice movement in America and then all this today what has come out is a desire of a dying sincere Vaishnavi in her last days. In her painful condition, what she didn't receive, still her heart was so magnanimous that she desired to have such a facility for all the other future dying souls. Like you and me, maybe. Sorry to say. So we are very grateful to her and on today's day we offer our most humble obeisances to her in gratitude for allowing us to have such wonderful service in Vrindavan Dham and help so many great souls. Everybody ultimately has to face death after doing service to Krishna. And we are in great fortune that if they reach Vrindavan, then we can serve them nicely. With all of your prayers and blessings, we can attempt to serve them in Shri Vrindavan Dham. Her Grace Archa Vigraha Devi Dasi Ki Jai. So is there any question or comment anybody has? Yes, Prabhuji. Microphone can be given.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for a very wonderful class, Prabhuji. For a few moments you lifted the veil of Maya, but it is just waiting to come back. So how do we handle that? You were saying that by giving the example of Sudama and his good wife, how they are completely transcendental. In a condition of abject poverty, they were able to maintain that love of Krishna. And you also said that to the extent that we have material attachments, it actually means hating Krishna, which I can clearly see right now. But once I am out of these premises, I am going to forget it. So please help me how I can remember.
In answer to your question, there is only one line I can quote to you. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittete Koriya Ekya Arana Koriho Manyasha. Simply attach yourself to the desire of Gurudev and offer your life to fulfill that desire of Gurudev. And do not think anything else than that. Apart from your duties that you are doing, absorb yourself in following Guru's instruction. Within the instruction of Gurudev is Golok Vrindavan. Within the instruction of Gurudev is detachment from Maya. Within the instruction of Gurudev is all the bliss that you need to experience in Krishna consciousness. Within the order of Gurudev is your salvation. Srila Prabhupada was blissful in America also when he was alone there, suffering, old man in the winter, in the cold. But what he said, I was never alone, I was always accompanied by my Gurudev, because he was fully absorbed in meditating how to fulfill the order of his Gurudev. While he was grihastha in India, when he left, took sannyas, or when he left India and when he was alone struggling for a year or two, his mind was fully focused on how to fulfill the desire of Gurudev. So today you may not be able to fully fulfill the order of Gurudev, but if you are meditating how to do it, your attempt also is fulfilling the desire of Gurudev. Result may come or not in the future. Like in 44, if you meet Prabhupada, nothing has happened. What is the value of his meditation? We can question. But in 77, when you saw Prabhupada departed, at that time you saw the manifestation of the desire that he wanted to fulfill his Guru's desire was already there in front of eyes of people. Today also you can understand the meditation of Prabhupada for 30 years that he did. So we may be in any stage of fulfillment or not fulfillment, but attempt Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittete Koriya Aikya. That consciousness of constantly being absorbed in trying to fulfill the order of Gurudev. Today we have the order of Gurudev for everybody. Is it not true? To help in buying that book. To spread the glories of Prabhupada all over the world. Those who say that we don't have order of Gurudev, you all are very fortunate, you are with him, and you know, we didn't get that opportunity, and you know, you all are being embraced so many times, and we don't know. But today there is an order for each and every devotee to offer his intelligence and time and energy and contacts and acquaintances. So, opportunity to serve Gurudev is always there. How much we grab it in the normal conditions of life will help you in the difficult condition of life and will help you at the time of departure from this world. Hare Krishna. Any other question is there? Any comment? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittete Koriya Aikya Arana Kariho Manyasa. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.